Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
So it's like a three awkward minutes of like, don't stare at Kai. There we go. Thanks,
really?
Buddy.
Thanks, Drew. Early. We're going early. I like almost had a mouthful here. Whatever.
Hey, everyone, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we try to make today make sense.
It is, now that I have swallowed my mouthful of beer, happy hour Friday, Economics on Tap, that thing that we do. We've got the live stream up and running as well. So for those of you watching on YouTube, well, thank you. We appreciate that very much.
Yes, indeed. And I was just saying to Kai, you really get the audience that you cultivate because, man, is everybody about an IPA in this chat room? No, not everybody. There's some chamomile tea. There's a couple dry Januaries. Good for you. I've punted that to February and attempted, frankly, to just avoid day drinking January on some of these days.
Sorry.
Just joking. Not funny. Yeah. Not funny. So good for you who are doing it. But yeah, it's a beer crowd, turns out.
Yeah.
Spear
That's crowd. Right. My fans and our fans know me, and I'll take that. I'll take that.
There's a hot cocoa and brandy. Nell, my kind of girl. Uh-huh.
Well, seeing as how it is 52 degrees and cloudy in Los Angeles today, and I'm freezing my yayas off, I probably should have had like some kind of hot brandy or something. But
it's true. And in homage to the Yellen song that is blowing up the entire internet. I can't believe you're so modest about that yesterday. I hadn't heard it yet. And Kai was so like, yeah, we did this thing. It was pretty cool. I'm like, you mean the best thing that's happened to the internet in ages?
Well,
the coolest thing we've ever done?
It's a little dorky to be that excited about a song about the Secretary of the Treasury, right? I was super excited.
I mean, it's so delightfully
dorky. I love
it.
And it's, yeah, and it was just super cool. And we had a good time putting it together. And Des is awesome and the whole deal.
And so we had a whole conversation on Slack about how we should probably have mojitos today. But I, for one, have already, in the words of Erica, of Erica Phillips, managed my mint, as in I clipped it back for the winter, so I don't have enough mint to make a mojito. And also it's freezing. So I brought tequila.
It is freezing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
I'm having an añejo. Slightly heavy pour. Not going to make it through that, all of it. I don't know what happened. It was an accident. I was watching CNN and I was like, glug, glug, glug.
Oh, man. Okay. Shall we?
Yep.
I believe we shall.
Let's
do
it. We're going to do the news. We're going to do half empty, half full, half empty. We're replacing, as promised, we're replacing Make Me Smile with our 2021 predictions, which we'll get to later.
Yep.
Later.
I am going to go first on my news.
Okay, go.
And I'm going to do two items, which are really one item. The first is an article in the New York Times today, the headline of which is that a Rolex on Joe Biden's wrist? Is that a Rolex on Joe Biden's wrist, is the way that is said in my mother tongue.
Really?
Okay, so, and then the subhead is, recent presidents not named Trump have tended to wear everyman timepieces, such as Timex and Shinola. And this piece in the New York Times goes on to give the president of the United States a hard time for wearing a Rolex and points out that Obama wore something that cost less than $5,000. The Biden watch cost like $7,000, $5,000. I don't know. Thousands and thousands of dollars, right? So that's item one. Okay? Just put that in your back pocket. Item two, and as I said in our notes on this show, I realize that quoting yourself as a news item is a little bit gauche, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I was watching Jen Psaki's very first, literally day one of the Biden administration press conference on Wednesday afternoon. And somebody, I know not who, asked her whether Biden was going to run in 2024. And I about lost my mind. And I chewed on it for a while, and I slept on it. And then the next morning, I tweeted out a tweet that said this. With all respect to my political reporter friends and colleagues, if you're asking today whether Biden's going to run in 24 or talking about who's going to win Iowa, you are committing malpractice. Democracy as sport, clickbait, entertainment got us where we are today. Stop. And that, for my account, you know, which is not small, but it's not ginormous, it blew up my Twitter feed, right? It got a zillion likes and it got retweeted all over the place and I had people answering me and yes, and you go and all this jazz. And here's the news item that I take out of that, or the news point that I want to make out of this. I am deathly afraid that the mainstream media has learned nothing from the last 4 years. The idea that the New York Times runs a piece about the president's watch saying, in essence, tisk, 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 that's not very every man of you. And the political media is asking literally on the first day of his presidency whether he's going to run. And in fact, prefaced it by saying President Trump filed for his reelection campaign on the day he was inaugurated. Is President Biden going to run in 2024? We've learned nothing. And if that's right, what are we even doing? What are we even doing? You and I can talk about disinformation and lies and all of this. But if the paper of record and whoever that was in the White House briefing room talking to the representative of the president of the United States is doing that, we're lost. We're lost. And yeah. I was just deeply irritated. I can't even believe it. And so I want to get that off my chest.
I hear that you are frustrated. I wonder if you would feel differently if you knew about the New York Times article that also said that Joe Biden has a Peloton.
Oh, I saw that. It appears to be a trend. And it's creating a problem. It's creating a problem in the first family because they both have to schedule their Peloton time. And I had two thoughts. Actually, I had three.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll give you my thoughts and then you go for your other thoughts. Uh-huh. Number one, AYFKM. I don't want to get us the expletive thing, right?
Yeah.
Number one.
Yep.
Number two, Joe Biden's a millionaire. Buy another damn Peloton for your wife, Joe. And number three, right? I mean, come on. Number three, you cannot tell me that the White House Communications Agency, which could rig a BlackBerry for Obama, cannot find a way to get the Peloton so that Joe can receive signal and do his exercises, but not be subject to Russian hacking for his exercises. Sorry.
I mean,
what were your thoughts?
Former President Trump used an insecure Android phone to tweet
every day,
right? Yeah. Like, I'm so happy that you raised this. I actually, when that Peloton story came out, it doesn't exactly comport with his regular Joe from Scranton persona, says the New York Times. But beyond the politics of it, narrator, there are none. There are no politics.
Right.
They go on to say, the bike could present cybersecurity risks. Not if you unplug it from the internet. So we're done here, New York Times. The performative whataboutism that is going to occur will actually only normalize President Trump's behavior in retrospect.
And that is
what I think is so upsetting about this. It's like, don't act like somehow there's an equivalence between this and letting over 400,000 American citizens die and separating children from their parents on purpose, some of whom may never be reunited. Like, just don't. Yeah. And when the Peloton story came out, I actually retweeted Sherilyn Ifill, who's just incredible, and she is at LDF and the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund.
Yeah, yeah.
She retweeted it, and she was like, stop this now. We just can't go back to this nonsense. We cannot.
No,
We're yep. doomed. We are shooting ourselves not in the foot. We're shooting ourselves right in the Democratic brain. It's small D Democratic brain. It's bananas.
Yeah. And it is exhausting. It's so. But I was actually having this exact conversation with a friend today, and I was saying my sincere hope is that the time machine that is Twitter, like the immediate is that like Twitter has learned, right? We've learned. We're having this conversation. Some people have learned. Mm-hmm. And the response to these articles over and over will be you, me, and Sherrilyn Ifill being like, AFYKM, right? And so that hopefully the real-time feedback loop will make a dent in it. Because if not, like, But look, the media has to reckon with its complicity. That includes us. Like, it's all a cycle.
Yep.
And the obsessive media coverage, I'm sorry that President Biden doesn't create more scandals for you to cover, but like you might have to find something else.
Yeah.
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 I'm with you on that one.
Anywho, that's my item.
I spent today down the weirdest rabbit hole because I was trying to figure out what in the blue blazes was happening with the GameStop stock.
Oh, yeah.
So I know. And somebody tweeted and was like, what is the deal with the GameStop stock? And I was like, I don't know. Why is it up 69.4% today at so high? It went so crazy that they actually had to halt it at some point because the volatility trading in the name was halted multiple times today due to high volatility. And I was like, GameStop? Aren't they the ones that won't let you like buy used games or something? I don't even like, I was like, what could possibly be happening here? And then finally, the internet enlighten me in the form of Vice, where apparently there is an entire creator economy and things I wish I had noticed sooner. An entire creator economy has sprung up around, partly because of Robinhood, right? The fintech like trading app that's addicted so many people, that has sprung up around like crappy stock buying advice. So much so that they call it FinTalk. TikTok? FinTalk?
TikTok, yes.
I know. It's amazing. And so they're all about, I mean, this is like classic make me smart. I spent like 35 minutes on this today. I was like, this is fascinating. So there's all these influencers and they're on Reddit. There's of course like Reddit groups where they're like, I know how to get rich quick. It's sort of, it's the opposite of anything that, you know, would resemble normal financial advice, which is like, you know, invest for a long time, have
diversify
a broad portfolio,
diversify,
probably don't gamble on individual stocks unless it's just with a small amount of money. And then there's these like FinTalk influencers who are making a ton of money telling people like, no, buy GameStop, which, okay, they refer to, this Vice article is amazing. It talks about how like, it quotes one person, a financial podcaster saying, if you go to Twitter and TikTok, you'll see TikTokers who are bragging about putting their $600 stimulus checks, which they refer to as stimmies, into Tesla stock and turning it into a bajillion more bucks. She says it's investment-tainment.
Don't do
it's,
that.
And so GameStop is totally being shorted. There's all these like angry people saying, no, GameStop, which I'm pretty sure still is like a video game retailer, unless I missed something else in everything
right
that, you know,
it's
like, what?
Yes.
And then there's the Tesla. And I appreciated the fact that this article pointed out that as though that basically the problem isn't just, it's like FinTalk is bad, it says, but the stock market is worse. The stock market, the personal finances of millions of Americans, and the real economy, they write, are all growing increasingly unmoored from each other, from one another, which we talked about a lot. But what I didn't realize is that it was also fueling like an individual investing housing bubble, which, my God, is this going to end badly?
Which is really bad. It's really bad and will end badly. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yep.
And it's easy to stand on the sideline and go, what are you people doing? But it's real money with people who probably 8 out of 10 of them, 7 out of 10 of them don't have the real money to lose, right? Because, you know, for a long time, stock market's just gone up and everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's great, right? I mean, since the low of in March of 2009, stock market's been a 45-degree angle up, right? And
there is one tweet from Ramp Capital, the capital investment firm, that says, look what you've created at Federal Reserve. Which reminded me of some of our conversations about moral hazard.
Yeah. For sure.
If there is one,
good stuff.
This appears to be it. This appears to be the. Yeah. I mean, there. Look, wow. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and apparently, the equal and opposite reaction of the very successful efforts to make sure that the stock market did not tank is FinTalk. So, who knew? Now you know.
Who knew?
And then I brought one other thing. I just want to be quick about it. Which we cannot end the day without acknowledging the passing of Hank Aaron, who died at 86, and how utterly heartbreaking this quote is in the New York Times obituary, where Hank Aaron is being celebrated today for his incredible accomplishments in baseball. And I totally support this idea that they should rename the Atlanta Braves the Atlanta Hammers after him, which would be amazing.
That's cool. That's great. Yeah.
But man, was it terrible for him. Racism that existed then and exists now put him through hell as a baseball player. Like, he talks about how, I had to duck. I had to go out the back door of ballparks. I had to have a police escort with me all the time. I was getting threatening letters every single day. All of these things have put a bad taste in my mouth, and it won't go away. They carved a piece of my heart away.
The Atlanta Constitution.
And it's heartbreaking.
For sure. The Atlanta Constitution, Louis Grizzard, for anybody from the South, was the sports editor at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution when Aaron broke that record. He said he had the story ready to go about breaking the record, but he also had an obituary ready to go because he was afraid he was going to get assassinated.
I mean, also the YouTube chat is making me aware that he preferred Henry. So Henry Aaron, it is.
There you go. Henry.
Yep. Anyway, I didn't mean to bring us down.
So.
But I am willing to acknowledge it. It's all remarkable.
We doing predictions real quick before half full, half empty? Is that how we're going?
Let's do it. We can do whatever we want on Friday. We have drinks and we will podcast as long as we want to.
That sound you hear is Donna Dam and Marissa Cabrera going, no.
She'll be like, come on. Tony Wagner's like, really? I would like a weekend. Okay. All right. Fine. Predictions. Man.
Okay. Go. All right. Go ahead. You go.
Okay. I predict that mRNA, the biological, basically the synthetic biology, the technology behind the vaccines that we've seen for COVID-19, is going to, in 2021, continue to produce medical miracles. Because it is such an incredible technology. It's finally, this is the proof of concept to end all proofs of concept with respect to this. Yeah. Because what it essentially allows people to do is like write some code to program the body. They're already talking about, I think we mentioned on the show, essentially a vaccine for multiple sclerosis. And they're talking about applying this technology to cancer. And I think it's going to be like at long last, we talk about medical breakthroughs all the time. We've had a lot of them. I think we're going to have some big ones this year.
Your lips to God's ears. I'm totally in favor of that. Totally in favor.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, so mine. Loyal and regular listeners to this podcast will remember that my predictions the last 3 years that we've done them have basically been, nothing's going to change. It's all going to be the same. It's all going to be crap, right? Look, I've been right. but that's not my point. My point is I'm going to be very specific with this prediction. And to do that, I need to back up a little bit. Okay. So my prediction is about the yield on the 10-year Treasury note, right, which is the benchmark U.S. interest rate, right? It drives a lot of what you pay for loans and money in this economy. And we talk about it every day on Marketplace. In November 2018, the 10-year Treasury note, the yield on the 10-year, which is to say the interest it paid, was 3.2%. Okay. And let me say here that rising bond yields are generally a sign of economic growth to come. Okay, so 3.2%, that's pretty good, and economy's growing, which it was at a very reasonable clip in November of 2018. In January of 2020, which was just a year ago, the yield on the 10-year was 1.8%. And then, of course, the pandemic hit, the economy went down the toilet, and in August, it hit its pandemic low of 0.53%. That is to say, the U.S. government, when it borrowed money for 10 years, was paying paying a 0.5% interest rate, which is basically nothing, right? So here is my very quantifiable prediction, because I promised I would be extremely quantifiable. I'm going to say that by September the 1st, the yield on the 10-year, which today stands at 1.08%, is going to be 2%, which is to say I believe there is good economic growth coming. I believe there might be a little bit of inflation in this economy. I believe the Federal Reserve is going to start talking about and looking at raising interest rates, conceivably, although that's, I'm going to put a very big asterisk caveat on that. But the prediction is the 10-year at 2% on September 1st. There we go. That's it.
Oh, my God. Look at you. I love that. You're out on a limb.
I thought it through.
You're flapping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Look at us. Look at us being so optimistic.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Economic growth is coming.
Yep.
Look, it is. The only question is how much.
It is.
Right? The only question is how much and when the takeoff starts, for sure.
Okay. 2%.
God,
I'm into it.
I sound like Larry Kudlow. God.
Have some more beer. It is Friday. That means we are going to end the show, but not yet. We're going to end it with a slightly truncated version of half full, half empty.
Yes.
All right. The Drewster.
All right. Drew, hit it.
First topic is backyard ice skating rinks. Are you half full or half empty?
Backyard ice skating rinks. Number one, where did that come from? Are you high?
Need to duck down
and number two,
Absolutely.
There was some article about them. I believe I'm in favor, but, and this is going to sound really dorky, they kill the grass. But I'll go with you. You know what? No. I'm going to go with skate on the river or lake nearby. That's what I'm going with.
You could totally buy them. You could just like order one. I'm half full on this, definitely, because unfortunately, not to bring us back down, but we're all still staying at home, which is why I'm having some work done right outside the window right there right now, because I'm intending on a Camp Molly summer, if you know what I'm saying. So definitely.
Here's Cheryl Lindstrom in the YouTube chat. Two people from California on backyard ice skating rinks. Okay, yeah, that's fair.
I know, totally. but definitely. I'm half full on that, for sure. That sounds really fun. In fact, I wish I could get one.
All right.
Next. Keep it coming, Drew.
Instacart.
I have zero experience with Instacart. Full stop.
So Instacart, the news this week is that Instacart is laying off 2,000 people, including the only 10 people in its outfit who voted to unionize and were about to start negotiating their contract and then got booted. So I think they're going to get in some trouble for union busting, even though I think they were combining their union busting with a real shift in business model, which is actually interesting, less about delivery and way more about grocery pickup. But because of the blowback from the union headline, I suspect it's going to be a brief time of half empty.
Yeah, I'll go with that. That sounds yucky.
Yeah, it was yucky. Next.
Okay, I think this says cabinet appointment wrap.
She's 5 foot nothing, but hands are God. She can pop a collar, she can rock a power bob. Bay Ridge represent, Brooklyn's in the cabinet. Damn, Janet, go and get it. Fifth and up for president. She knows the kind of stimulus it takes.
I can listen to all that.
All the way full. All the way.
That's my favorite part. Secretary of the Treasury. So, super,
100%
super
full
quick.
On that.
Dessa did this thing for us on Marketplace talking about Janet Yellen. It was unreal. It's on marketplace.org. It's on our Twitter feed. It's everywhere. As it deserves to be. I'll buy all the glasses on that. All the glasses.
It's so incredible.
Yeah.
So incredible. And also, I think that one of my like low-key favorite parts is the inside voice. Like, she just gets to know her so well. Yeah. That, you know, the hawks and the doves are yelling, and she comes in with her inside voice. I was like, oh my God, that's such a sweet detail, and it's so perfect. I mean, it's just as beautiful.
The whole thing.
The whole thing is beautiful.
That's actually the real interesting part. Sorry, just honestly. So Dessa has never met Janet Yellen, has only watched her in congressional hearings and in Fed hearings, and I think honestly captured her really well, because that inside voice thing is completely accurate. Right? I mean, she's soft-spoken and the whole deal, you know? Yeah, it's great.
Yep, soft-spoken with a Brooklyn accent. Yeah. Like, oh. Anyway, go listen if you have not. Marketplace.org is where you find that. That is finally it for us. We are getting the at least psychic hook, if not literal hook. We will be back on Monday, though. And a reminder, for this upcoming episode, for an upcoming episode, we're trying to find people from across the political spectrum, a callback to one of our first shows, to answer this question, what do you want the other side to know about you?
We have heard from a lot of people on the left so far. Waiting to hear from our more conservative on the right listeners. So if you consider yourself in that political vein, or if you know somebody who would like to offer their thoughts, right, send us a voicemail, makemesmart@marketplace.org. We'll get it on the pod. And it's just, it's an exercise in exploring where we stand today, right? We did this 4 years ago, and maybe we'll dig out some sound from that. I don't know. But it's been a tumultuous 4 years, no matter how you look at it, right or left. And we want to get some feedback and some input.
Yeah. And yes, someone in the YouTube chat says, this is a charming idea, but haven't we scared all the conservatives away? I'm not going to lie. That's one of the things we're trying to find out. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
True, just that engineer today is also... That's right. He is also the voice of Half Full, Half Empty. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves.
And listen, like, no pressure to Ethan Peretz, but... we have a great new intern on the social team who put Bernie in the background of our photo.
We should slide her
in. Do we post that? We gotta post that. And
we gotta post that picture. And we gotta just, you know, for a week or two, give her the credit because it was good.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.